This little story gets straight to the heart of Jesus' mission in Luke. Remember, when Jesus first announced his mission in Luke, also in a synagogue on a Sabbath, he described it in terms of human liberation and flourishing, saying, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." There's hardly an episode in Luke that doesn't point back to this original reading. In this week's reading, the idea of liberation just reverberates with particular force. Jesus insists that the bent-over woman be set free and released from her bondage. Moreover, when he debates the synagogue leader about Sabbath law, Jesus draws directly from the fifth chapter of Deuteronomy, the version of the commandment that connects Sabbath rest to Israel's liberation from slavery in Egypt. In Jesus' view, since the Sabbath law commemorates and celebrates Israel's liberation, it ought to be a day for enacting, not inhibiting, the present-day liberation of Israelites. Moreover, given the custom of providing water for thirsty livestock on the Sabbath, it's surely appropriate to heal a long-suffering Israelite on the Sabbath. In none of this does Jesus abolish the Sabbath commandment. Rather, he aims to follow it faithfully. Jesus enters what was at that time an ongoing Jewish debate about how to interpret the Sabbath law, locating himself on the less stringent end of the opinion spectrum. But this is more than a debate about scriptural interpretation. It's more fundamentally an instance of God's kingdom breaking into the present world. We notice, if we read this from the Bible, we would notice that it really doesn't end with verse 17. Jesus continues to explain his actions. He said, therefore, "What is the kingdom of God like?" Well, it's like a tiny mustard seed that grows into a tree for sheltering birds, or like yeast that leavens bread for provision and fellowship. Notice the similarities to the bent-over woman. Something seemingly small and insignificant becomes, with God's loving and transforming power, a vessel to further God's kingdom. When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. And we emphasize these seemingly small and insignificant as a way to highlight Jesus' distinctive vision. Because Jesus sees and cherishes what others might overlook. We can imagine the woman's social invisibility, or at least her perceived insignificance. For 18 years, she's been quite unable to stand up straight, meaning she's been unable to look people in the eyes. Her vision has been limited to the ground in front of her. Likewise, the community's perspective on her has been limited to her bent-over back and the top of her head. Yet Jesus recognizes the mustard seed. Jesus sees the woman and calls her forward. He doesn't take her into a side room for a private healing. He engages her and heals her in front of everyone, which then allows her, for the first time in 18 years, to praise God face to face with other worshipers. And with the woman's restoration comes the restoration of the community. Her neighbors now see her more fully. By strengthening the woman to see them, Jesus grants them a fuller vision of the woman, so that in the end, the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that he was doing. Now, remember that Luke often balances a scene involving a man with a similar scene involving a woman. So the parallels between the healing of the stooped woman today and the healing of the man with dropsy in the next chapter are evident. Both occur on the Sabbath. Both involve controversy with the leader of the synagogue or the Pharisees. Both report a pronouncement as well as a healing. And in both, Jesus invites his opponents to reason from what they would do for an ox to what they should do for a fellow human being. For the last time in the gospel today, Jesus enters a synagogue. Healings while Jesus was teaching in a synagogue have been reported in two previous scenes. The first established Jesus' authority over the unclean spirits. In the second, Jesus argued that it was right to do good and to save life on the Sabbath. And today, Jesus teaches that concern over the suffering of fellow human beings takes precedence over obligations related to keeping the Sabbath. This theme of divine mercy is featured prominently in Mary's song and Zechariah's song in the first chapter of the Gospel. For Luke, mercy is at the heart of what God is doing in Jesus. We may remember that Simeon emphasizes the light for revelation the discerning will see in Jesus. This illumination is glory for believers, but will also spur opposition. For Luke, following Jesus requires that believers emulate and copy the ways in which divine mercy is enacted through Jesus' ministry, persevering even in the face of hostility. As a youth, Jesus had studied with scribes. Jesus has grown in wisdom and now offers revelatory insight through his teachings on the Sabbath, starting again with his inaugural proclamation from Isaiah in the Nazareth synagogue as defining for his ministry and mission. Jesus grants healing and liberation to those struggling with economic issues, incarceration, and other conditions of diminishment. In Lucan theology, Jesus, the deliverer of Israel, is a spirit-filled teacher whose words and deeds are prophetic and liberating. And here, as in other scenes in Luke in which Jesus responds to the needs of a woman, the scene points to a new status for women in the kingdom of God. None of this is to say that the woman's bent-over condition had compromised the validity of her worship, much less her personhood. Luke and the other gospel writers emphasize Jesus' power to heal physical brokenness because they are convinced that God created everything and called it good, meaning Jesus' mission is not some deliverance of the spirit out of the body, but a healing of the entire person. In the case of the bent-over woman, Luke goes so far as to call her condition a form of satanic bondage, which is an ancient way of saying her condition violates God's will for her life and is not her own fault. And also, it's critical to highlight the extent to which Jesus' healing mission never waits for an allegedly more appropriate day. If the bent-over woman must be straightened on the Sabbath, then there is no time at which human healing cannot and should not occur. The kingdom of God does not accommodate our sense of propriety and polite timing, even when it comes to our most well-intentioned theological convictions. It's God's will to heal human creatures now. The slightest delay to that healing indicates Jesus' resistance. The slightest delay to that healing indicates resistance to Jesus' kingdom mission. So we encounter Jesus and his healings and teachings as the embodiment of radical good news for the poor, release for the captives, and emancipation for the oppressed. And so, healed of our bondage to sin, we can stand up straight and praise God. Thanks be to God.